In a gospel like this, the Lord tells us that we should render to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and then to God what belongs to God. And I'm going to preach just for a moment out of that phrase and then talk to you particularly about stewardship. But what belongs to Caesar? You know, we don't have a king, but we do have, if you will, a government. We may have a president, but really, what we render to Caesar, or what we render to the government, is really what we render to all of us. It's about the common good. So you drove on paved roads, or sort of paved, and we flip the light switch and the electricity runs, and the police and the fire department are ready at hand if there's a problem. And you know, we need to take care of each other that way. And so when we pay taxes, we're not so much giving it to Caesar, but to one another. It's part of the common good. And we owe that to one another. And we all may have differences at times with the politics and things in Washington, but at the end of the day, fundamentally, we do owe things to one another. To put it in the biblical terms, we ought to pay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. And what are some of those things? Well, we should pay lawful taxes. We should pay follow just laws and lawful and just laws, and we should contribute to the common good. We should be part of the political discussion, part of that, take part in the many public discussions that we have, and get involved in matters of reform and discuss these things among ourselves, trying to make our world and our nation a more just, merciful, and equitable place. We owe that to Caesar, but really what we're saying today is we owe that to one another. That's something that we have obligations to. I, like you, complain about paying taxes, but you know, it is nice to be able to flush the old toilet or just realize that's going to all be taken care of, to turn on the lights and be pretty sure they're going to come on, and just drive on paved roads and have a military that protects. And you know, we need to stop for a moment and think sometimes. We do owe things to one another, and it does cost. Not just in taxes, but in just that raw capital that we all bring. We are part of that public discussion. What do we owe to God? Well, of course, everything, but to maybe get a little more detailed. One of the things we owe to God is what we're doing today. We owe God all the glory and all the praise. We owe Him praise, we owe Him love, we owe Him adoration, we owe Him obedience. We ought to be grateful because God has given us every good and perfect thing, every beat of our heart, every molecule of air we breathe, everything that you see God has given. Everything, everything, literally everything. And even things you don't see, He gives you. So, brethren, we owe God so much, and we owe Him obedience. And you know, God doesn't command us except for our good. God never says, well, just do something for the sake of doing it. But he commands us because He wants us to live well, live more happily, more justly. And so the Lord gives us different commandments and rules and laws. And think of those, though, more like not a prison wall, but rather a defending wall. And within those limits and commandments God gives us, we live so much more joyfully, more freely. And so today, just to focus on one small thing, and Jesus refers to it as a small thing, but He tells us to observe it, which is the tithe, to give to God the first tenth of our income, to give it back. I want to look to you as a small thing. Jesus says to the scribes and the Pharisees, you scribes, you Pharisees, He says, you're very particular about tithing, even the small little herbs from your garden, you're very particular about that. And yet you neglect weightier matters of the law, things like justice and mercy and love. Now these things you should have done without neglecting the smaller matters. So the Lord only mentions tithing once, but when He does, He says we ought not neglect it. I could give you lots of Old Testament quotes where God commands the tithe, but I'll just mainly focus with you on a couple of texts, one from Proverbs and one from Malachi. Today, therefore, the Lord is teaching us about a small obedience, but it's those small things that are sometimes very important. And for us as a community, tithing is very important. It's one of the ways we don't just give God what is his due, but also we help take care of each other. If you have a minute and you want to follow, you can pull the little green flyer out of your bulletin, and that'll have the text that I'm going to preach out of. You can have it at hand. And a little outline at the bottom of my homily. Now, that just tells you there's a method to my madness. It's still madness, right? Okay. But again, the main thing is to have the text, the biblical text at hand. Now, the homily comes in four parts. And fundamentally, that we are to review, as we do every year about this time, to review our faithfulness, to rebuke any of our fears, to release our funds, and to receive our fruitfulness. And this is God's plan for us. Now, remember, God only commands not to restrict us, but to give us greater freedom. And I would ask you to ponder with me that as God says, look, you be faithful in setting aside the first tenth of your income for me, and I promise you that I will take care of you with the rest. It's a call to faith, but it's also a call to freedom. Because I'm going to say to you, and I'll mention it again in the main part of the homily, that many people today are in financial bondage. Our spending priorities are the main cause of that bondage. We maximize the minimum and minimize the maximum. We're spending a lot of money on frivolous things and all kinds of little things and nickels and dimes that just add up, and we're neglecting, if you will, the more serious thing, saving up for the future and taking care of our children and being just to the poor. We are so easily drawn in today in a consumer culture to buying all sorts of things that we don't necessarily need, or at least in the quantities that we have them. Sometimes we buy new things when the good old thing works just fine still. And on you go, you see, but we're constantly being drawn, and that puts a lot of us in financial bondage. Credit card bills pile up. You know, it used to be considered a huge disgrace to declare bankruptcy, and now it's a fairly common financial strategy that people employ. Brothers and sisters, the Lord doesn't want us to be in bondage. He wants us to be free. And part of being free is getting first things right in our life. If I really do put God first in my life, and I fear him, I don't have to fear everybody else. If I really begin to make God and his word the source of my life, so many of these other things that come along, trends and things, can be just set aside. I know what I need and I know what works. And if I can really get right with God in my finances and make sure that 10% goes to him, that first 10%, an awful lot of other things just fall into place. And the Lord is asking us to trust him in this. Now, this is very sensitive. You know, we can hear parables about vineyards and shepherds and think, oh, that's interesting. But we all know about money. We all know about money. And the Lord is talking today about your money and my money. But I got news for you. That's tainted money. It taint yours. It belongs to God. And so the Lord is asking us to ponder. So I see some of you sitting real hard on your wall and closing up the wall in the pocket purse, you know. But the Lord's talking to us today about something we all know, which is our money. Now, with that in mind, let's begin to look at what the Lord teaches us. The first part of this is that we should review our faithfulness. Now, the Lord in this passage from Malachi is being very rebuking to the people of that time. In a way, I don't feel like I need to rebuke you strongly. This parish has a long history of being very faithful to the tithe. And I know most of you, again, are very, very faithful. You've heard this message over the years, and you've really begun to incorporate it into your life. Now, there might be a few of you that are parking on somebody else's dime. Remember that old expression? You go to the parking meter and somebody already fed, you say, oh, good, I don't have to pay. But I don't think as a group we don't need rebukes here. This is a very generous and faithful parish. However, all of us should review our faithfulness year by year, because our income can change. But listen to what the Lord says. And again, he's using a rebuking tone because they really needed it. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from my ordinances, and you have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? And the Lord says, here's one area. Will a man rob God? You have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. And then he goes on to say, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. All right. So he's rebuking them for being unfaithful to the tithe. And notice he says that your lack of fidelity has brought a curse upon you. And again, I say to you, the Lord is trying to teach us that if we will get first things first, if we will get our priorities straight, everything else tends to fall into place. But if we don't, we're cursed with a curse. And I'll just tell you, one of the big curses we all have is overspending. Our priorities are not good. Our desires are out of whack, and we get our priorities wrong. And the Lord is saying to us, start getting things right by getting first things first. And that is to be faithful to the tithe. Now again, I know many of you know this and you're faithful. But I want to say to you that all of us every year should do a little review. I'm going to just say that the Lord's given me a little bit of an increase. You know, I have a very fixed salary as a priest. But I've been able to get some income in the last couple years now with writing. I do a lot of writing and I'm paid to do that. I write for several newspapers, and I got to change my tithe. It's time for me now, it's October, it's time for me to say, what really is my income, and is my tithe that I'm giving this parish reflective of that income? So it's going to go up a little for me this year. Praise the Lord. I'm also going to say that some of you may have had a decrease in your salary. Some of you may have retired. Some of you also may have had increases in your salary. It's just time for all of us to review, am I being faithful to the tithe? And what is a tithe? That the first 10% of my income goes to God. Am I really doing that? Now, for me, I got to say, now notice I say to you, the first 10%. Don't take it from the bottom, take it from the top. The Lord is asking, and by the way, I use Faith Direct, because I'm not very organized. So, office staff will tell you that. I'm kind of the creative type. I'm walking around with my shoelaces untied, you know? So I need to make sure that I'm right with God. So every day, I have Faith Direct set up, and some of you can get it set up to take it out a couple of times a month. I just get it taken out at the beginning of the month, and it just comes right off the top. Boom. Just gets yanked right out of my account, dropped into Holy Comfort of St. Cyprian. Right there. Boom. Automatic. It's called Faith Direct. Think about it. Some of you like to do all that stuff online today too. Well, the parish gives that opportunity. But for me, I need that because I want to make sure that the Lord gets the first 10%. Not the after I paid all the other bills and let me see what's left over and hand the Lord some crumbs. Are you praying with me? And if it doesn't come off the top, I'm going to spend it some other way. Look out, church. So, Lord, the first 10% is going to go to you. And I need help. The Lord says, I'm going to give you Faith Direct. All right, amen, amen. But look, there is this call, review. Now, on the back of that green sheet, there's a chart. Encourage you to take a time sometime today and during the Mass and just take a quick look at that chart. And it kind of shows you what a tithe looks like on a weekly giving. And just take a look at that and say, am I doing what I ought to do? See, and if not, I'll adjust. If my income's gone down a little, I can make the adjustments now. So, step one, review your faithfulness. Don't let it be said to you by God that you're robbing him. First tenth belongs to God. I'm going to tell you that's tainted money. It ain't yours. Give it back to God. And that's what the Lord says. Now, there's a lot of technical questions that come up about this, and I'm not going to stand before you as some kind of a legal lawyer and these different things. I realize today the difference between net and gross is getting complicated to figure out, and
If you have trouble with that, just start with your net, but start there and you say, well, what does the Cardinals appeal count and all those things? I'm not going to make a lot of rules for you. I'm just going to say that 10% of your income ought to be coming to this parish. If it goes through the Cardinals appeal or other second collections, you want to figure that in, that's between you and God. But just make sure it goes to God. Are you praying with me? Now, therefore, I want to just say, step one, review your faithfulness. Now, secondly, rebuke your fears. Now, I'm not going to spend a long time because there's not a particular text. We're going to pick it up toward the end again as well, but I want to just say this much. We all get a little anxious. I'm thinking to myself, okay, I'm going to increase my tithe by this amount. But I remember last month I was a little short on this or that, and what'll happen to me? The Lord says, would you please stop being afraid? You get first things first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be taken care of. Do you believe that or not? Or is it just a slogan? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. Now, either that's a slogan or you really believe it. So at some level, the Lord is asking us to trust him. To trust him. So pray and ask the Lord for that trusting commitment. This is really what a tithe looks like, and I need to get there. You might say, well, how will I do? Let the Lord help you. I'll show you a couple ways he's going to do it in a few moments, but just rebuke your fears. Say, I'm supposed to live in trust. Whew, it's quiet in here right now. Review your faithfulness. Rebuke any fears you might have. Here it comes now. Release your funds. Release your funds. Now, I want to, right in the middle of the text, I want to read to you. It's one verse has three basic things. It just simply says this. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Bring ye the whole tithe to the storehouse, so that there may be meat in my house, says the Lord of hosts. Now, there's three basic things that are told to us there. The Lord expects a definite proportion. He expects there's a designated place for that proportion, and there is a determined purpose. Now, again, the definite proportion, I've told you already, a tithe means tenth. A tenth of my income is going to go back to God. Not any tenth, but the first tenth. Let me read to you from Proverbs chapter 3. Listen again, it gives the commandment, but then it also gives a promise. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. So then shall your barns be filled with plenty and your presses burst out with new wine. So the Lord says, you get faithful with the first tenth of your income and I'm going to promise you a blessing. A blessing. It will come. It will come. It will come. So, we see, first of all, the definite proportion is the first tenth of my income. Secondly, there is a determined or designated place. The word here is storehouse, but storehouse is just another word that the Bible used for the temple. Why would it be called the storehouse? Because, brethren, stored in the temple, stored in your parish church, are all the blessings that really matter. You can get $1 million and have fine granite countertops and all that stuff and still go to hell. The real blessings, the real storehouse, the real place of where the greatest things are stored, the true grain that will really nourish your soul to eternal life is right here in the church. It's the Holy Eucharist of Jesus. It's his proclaimed and sung and celebrated word. It is that word of instruction and encouragement. It is the fellowship. It is the sacraments. It is mercy and forgiveness in the confessionals. The word proclaimed. The word become flesh that we receive as Holy Communion. It's all of this. These are the blessings that abide unto eternal life. This is the storehouse. Most of you come here every Sunday, this is your storehouse. If some of you are visiting and you have another parish you usually go to, that's your storehouse. Those are where the blessings that you most need, the blessings that you are most in need of and that last unto eternal life are provided. So the Lord says, if you will, the term, or if you will, the definite proportion, the designated place, and then the determined purpose, that there may be meat in my house. In other words, that there may be the resources necessary so that your storehouse is in good repair, so that the things that need to be done to be providing these blessings are being done, that good, excellent clergy and ministers of music and a good catechist are being recruited and taken care of and supplied with the things they need so that the great works that need to happen here for the salvation of souls may continue. And so that from a place like this, the lighthouse can be burning brightly in a neighborhood, that the resources necessary to care for the poor, that the resources necessary to go out and meet God's people is available. Look at this, these beautiful buildings that we have received from those who went before us. And you take such good care of them. But that's all part of it, but it's so much more. It's all the talent, it's all the beautiful things that take place here. And that does need resources. And without the resources, the work falls apart, the storehouse falls into disrepair, the boards go up on the windows, and the building goes away, and the work of God ceases. And that can't happen. So again, we have, if you will, a definite proportion, a designated place, and a determined purpose. God's work, this is His storehouse, and from this storehouse, a work has to be done, and God, there must be meat in this house. And so it is, that depends on us by God's grace. So, we've seen so far, review your faithfulness, rebuke any fears, release your funds, but here comes the good part. Receive your fruitfulness. You see, this command comes with a promise. And the Lord simply, once again, calls us to have faith, and He says this, right about the middle of the text there, if you're following. It says here, try me, or if you, it says here again, the text says, prove me, or in other words, test or prove me in this, says the Lord of hosts, and see if I don't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there will not be even room enough to receive. He goes on to say, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake, and it shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, and neither shall your vine cast forth her fruit before the time of ripeness in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations will call you blessed, for your land shall be delightsome, says the Lord of hosts. And so you see there in the outline, I distinguish for you, if you will, four basic fruits that come from this obedience. First of all, renewed faith. I want to just tell you, brethren, my faith in God is renewed year by year with the tithe. I've tried God in this now for 20 years of my life. I've been faithful to the tithe. And you know, the Lord made a promise that I'd be, if I would put that priority in, the other things would fall into place. Now, when I started tithing, I was in debt. Whew. I was still getting over those college debts and all that fun stuff, and within 2 years, it was all cleared up. Now, we began tithing in this parish because we were in trouble. 20 years ago, in 1993, when I came here, we were in pretty serious trouble. We were really running in the red. We were being drained of money. We were going to do the usual Catholic thing. You know, put up the thermometer in the back and watch it get red. And we were going to do more raffle tickets. And we were going to up bingo a little more. And we were going to do all that usual Catholic stuff. Are you praying with me? And Brother Lewis, Brother Kenneth Lewis said, enough, away with you all, away with you all. Anathema sit. He said, if you will preach, God has a financial plan for His parish, and you clergy need to start preaching it. And if you will preach it, our financial difficulties will be done within 2 years. And so it is. We said, well, gee, that sounds like a plan. Maybe just trust God. How about that? God, if God has a plan, maybe we ought to just preach it. And so we started. And again, within 2 years, we were out of debt. We went from being in the red to being back in the black. Praise the Lord, church. Now, I'm going to tell you, amen. And somewhere the Lord put it on my heart. He says, don't nickel and dime people. Don't endlessly sell stuff and put up thermometers and have special funds. Just teach them what I told you about how they're supposed to support their parish. And if you will do that, Charles Pope, you will never run a parish in the red. And I just thank God. You know, he's been faithful. I've never run a parish in the red. I was in a very poor parish in far southeast. We were always in the black. I got there, we were in the red. I got, within, started preaching tithing. Within a year, we're in the black. Are you praying with me? You've been faithful all these years. The Lord is faithful to his promise to me. First of all, as a disciple, in my own finances, the Lord has renewed my faith. Time and time again, I've been blessed. And as a pastor, he's renewed my faith. Because if I'm faithful to preaching this word, even though there may be occasional people, that's all they talk about in the church is money. You know, you're always going to get a little pushback. But, you know, I don't get that from you. You're very faithful. You're patient. You listen. But I tell you, God's been faithful. This parish has always paid its bills, and we've seen some decline in our numbers in the pew, but you still continue to remain faithful, and we're going to keep growing this church. It will be just fine if we put God first. I've had my faith renewed, and I know that some of you have stories to tell about tithing too. Amen? God is faithful in this. Now, I'm going to just next say that not only as will you get renewed faith, but return to fortunes. Now, here too, it's not always that you get it back in money. Sometimes the Lord gives you greater peace. Sometimes he helps you, the fortune you receive. One of the fortunes I received was to overcome some of my bad spending habits. One of the reasons I was in such debt was I was buying all these magazine subscriptions. I wasn't even reading them. I had all this kind of stuff and nickel, just constant stuff. And I just got rid of all that stuff. I didn't need it anymore. And little by little, just some of those bad spending habits just went away. And not only that, but I began to be satisfied with the old clunker for a while. Right now I'm driving a car that's about 10 years old. I got it from my mother before she died, and I named the car Betty Grable. It's my old Crown Victoria. I said, I'm going to get Betty Grable out of the garage. And me and Betty Grable drive everywhere. It's not a fancy car. It's just, it's got four wheels, though. It's got a motor. You know, it works. When someone says, you ought to get a newer car, I said, why? It works, you know. But again, you see, sometimes some of us are always pining after the latest thing, the upgrade. Well, what we've got's okay. And one of the fortunes the Lord can give you is just to be grateful for what you have and say, it's nice, I like it, it's like an old shoe. Fits just fine, you know. Are you praying with me? All right. But whatever the fortune, God, and I've said this year, this past couple years, the Lord's increased my income. That's what he's done. But I'm just going to say, at the end of the day, the Lord will bless you if you're faithful. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be taken care of. And not only that, but rebuke foes. And again, the text says, I'm going to rebuke the devourer for your sake. If you are faithful to the tithe, says the Lord, I will rebuke the devourer. And I said this to you already, I won't develop it now, but the biggest devourer for most of us is overspending. Overspending. And the Lord says, I will rebuke that for you. And what is overspending? It's a sign that our desires are a little out of whack, that we need to find some of our desires to be curbed a little bit. It starts with the old food thing, but it doesn't end there, does it? We always want, you see, the Lord can help us with that by being grateful for what we do have and helping us to let go and not be so desirous of all the latest things. And then finally, there's a restored fruitfulness. Simply this, look, it says at the end, Israel, if you will be faithful, all the nations will call you blessed, and you will be a delightsome land, says the Lord of hosts. You know, I take this as a symbol or an image of, if you're really faithful, one of the beautiful things God can do for you is to be able to make you more generous to the poor, to the needy, to your children, and so on. See, if you're not spending all your money on dumb things that don't even last, you can set some of it aside. So when your kids need it in the future, you got it for them. When the poor come to you, you can say, I can help you. But you see, if we're all in financial bondage and worrying about just paying off the credit card bill, how can we bless the poor? How can we bless our children and grandchildren? Are you praying with me? But if we're faithful and God begins to go to work in our life and take us out of financial bondage and give us that freedom that comes from being faithful, we can be so much more generous.
you know, God's been awfully good to me, and most of the income that I get is disposable income because you already take such good care of me. You know, I have food on my table. You give me that. You take care of my health care. You even give me a little salary on top of it. Give me a beautiful place to live. So for me, now this is just me. I have a special circumstance. I know that not everyone has this, but most of my income I can just give away. And I thank God for that. But you see, that's because of your generosity. And so I simply say to you, brothers and sisters, the Lord can do this for us. He's got a plan for us. I don't argue that everyone here is in financial bondage, but it is an American problem today, isn't it? And part of it is we've got to get God first. He needs that first tenth of our income. And let me make you this promise. You will do more with 90% and God as a partner than you'll ever do with 100% all by yourself. And I'm a witness. I've asked you today to review the tithe. To review your faithfulness, rebuke any fears, be prepared to release your funds, and then receive your fruitfulness. I simply offer you this as God's plan. That is His financial plan for His church and for every one of us who are His disciples. And I make you this promise, the Lord, because I'm basing it on what the Lord said. The Lord will bless us for any obedience we show in this department. He will bless. We will receive the fruits of this obedience. So if you will be obedient in this matter, and I will, God will bless us. And I am a witness. I'm going to ask you today, before the mass is out, if you could, there's little cards in the pew, and you just go on record with God. This isn't for the pastor to sit there and review, and what did so-and-so say they're going to give. That's not my business. But it's good for all of us to go on record with God. So today, before the mass ends, if you can, please, fill those cards out. At the end of Mass, after communion, I'm going to ask you to bring them up and put them in the basket. Go on record with God. Lord, I've reviewed my faithfulness. I'm rebuking any fears, and I'm prepared to release my funds because, Lord, I want to receive a blessing from you. So if you get a moment today, check that chart, see what you're going to do. I realize that some of you say, well, I wasn't prepared for that today. I want to think and pray a little more. I got you. But bring it back next week. But ideally, if you can do it today, do it. So I've kept you a long time. I'm not known for brevity to begin with. But at the end of the day, I thank you for your patience. But above all, I thank you for your fidelity. This parish has been heroically faithful to the tithe all these years. And I know you'll continue. I simply give this to you and to me as a gentle reminder. Every October, check. See, how am I doing? Do what you need to do to get faithful with God. And I promise you, He'll bless you. I'm going to just say right now, the Lord is blessing me. Right now, the Lord is blessing me.